I did not get access to physiotherapy or high quality physiotherapy very easily. And there was this one hackathon that my friends and I were actually planning to go. And I just come back from an evening run, again, completely demotivated and dejected because of the knee pain that I was suffering. And because I was seriously motivated to, lose my weight. And then I was kind of, you can say, just whining about how miserable my life has become because of this. My friends and I suddenly had a light bulb moment that time when we realized that, okay, why don't we do something about knee injuries and something to make knee injuries accessible right to the home of the patient. And that's how the inspiration for this startup actually came about.
Hello everyone, my name is Neil Patel and my guest is Anmol Saxena, the CEO and founder of Ashwork Wear Tech. They develop wearable solutions for chronic knee pain and spine. So in this episode, she talks about her own knee pain battles that inspired her to build something at a hackathon. And since then, they have not looked back. She talks about how the products work, quitting her job at Ford, building an MVP, talks about product development. She talks about her own research in the early days. She went to 50 clinics and spoke to over 150 knee pain patients. Talks about dealing with feature requests and how they kill products, getting paying customers and then having to refund them, why they use an Excel spreadsheet when things go wrong, talks about offline marketing campaigns that worked really well, talks about sales so far, how they onboard customers, and finally she talks about how the lean business model canvas can help you with your pitch and much, much more. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Anmol. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Hey, Neil. Thank you very much for having me here.
Awesome stuff. Super excited to speak to you today. Please tell the listeners what you're building.
So likewise, super excited to talk to you as well. We at Ashwa Wearable Technologies, or short for Ashwa Wear Tech, are building wearable technologies combined with data sciences to basically tackle various problems of the musculoskeletal system of your body. We've kind of started with a device called FitKneez Assess. Mm-hmm. So FitKneez is an assessment and progress monitoring tool for your knee health, basically for patients who suffer from chronic knee pains, sports-related knee injuries like your ligament tears, meniscus tears. Other than this, we've made one more device called Mudra. Mudra is the Sanskrit word for posture. So basically, this device is a tiny wearable sensor that you stick on the back of your neck. And it is based on the Pavlov's theory of classical conditioning, wherein every time a person who's sitting for prolonged hours at the desk working all day, every time they slouch, this device starts vibrating. And it does not stop vibrating until you sit back straight, sit with a good posture. And within 21 days, we actually found that sitting straight becomes a lifelong habit with this device.
Mm-hmm. What inspired you to do this then?
I actually have been battling with obesity all my life. It's a genetic thing. It runs in my family. So when I was in the third year of VIT, that's my college where I did my engineering from, I started kind of taking up weight loss by myself. So I used to go for runs in my girls' hostel. There was this basketball court that I used to run around. 6 months down the line, I had severely injured my knees. So much so that I was not able to even do basic exercises of movement like, climb steps up to my hostel dorm or kind of walk a little longer on my campus to reach another building from my hostel. So it started actually interfering very severely with my daily life. Mm-hmm. Being in a small city like Vellore, that's a small city in Tamil Nadu, that's where my college was. Yeah. I did not get access to physiotherapy or high quality physiotherapy very easily. And there was this one hackathon that my friends and I were actually planning to go. And I just come back from an evening run, again, completely demotivated and dejected because of the knee pain that I was suffering. And because I was seriously motivated to, lose my weight. And then I was kind of, whining about how miserable my life has become because of this. And my friends and I suddenly had a light bulb moment that time when we realized that, okay, why don't we do something about knee injuries and something to make knee injuries accessible right to the home of the patient, knee physiotherapy accessible. And that's how the inspiration for this startup actually came about.
Cool. And what kind of research did you do?
For the hackathon, we actually kind of just went with this one problem that I had.
Okay, yeah.
Built a small device, and there were a lot of mentors. So this hackathon had mentors from CBIT, Intel, hospitals like Narayana Hospital that are located in Bangalore. Yeah. And a lot of these experts came down to our table. They loved the idea. They loved the product. They loved the technology that we had actually managed to build over 2 days. And they started giving us a lot of feedback. Basically, what happened was after my college, I had a kind of a sheep mentality, mm-hmm. like a cattle mentality. I kind of went and took a job, a corporate job. This was with Ford Motors Company, and I was posted in Chennai at that point of time.
Okay.
So I actually took around 1.5 years of time to gain the confidence to start my own company. I am ready to get into a startup and build this business by myself.
Yeah.
That's when I started going on field in Chennai itself. So I used to do my 9-to-5 job. And after that, I would go on field, spend 2 to 3 hours in different physiotherapy and orthopedic clinics in Chennai, observing patients, observing orthopedic, observing physiotherapists, the way patients present their symptoms or problems, the way the treatment is delivered to the patient. What is the recurrency of patients to physiotherapy? And what is the adherence to physiotherapy? And a lot of observations that I made in these 50 plus clinics, right? I actually started realizing that 8 out of 10 patients do not even turn up to the clinic for physiotherapy after the first session. They drop out right after the first session, and then 2 or 3 months down the line, they come back saying that, okay, this has fled, my pain and my swelling or my stiffness has flared up again in the knees, and I don't know what to do, doctor. And, you know, they're in a more miserable state than they were 3 months ago. That problem kind of kept recurring, whether I was in Chennai, Mumbai, Bangalore. When I was doing these field studies, I was spending 2 to 3 months in all of these clinics, and this kept coming back again and again.
Mm.
And from there, I started asking these patients. So I actually ended up interviewing almost 110 knee pain patients.
Wow.
To kind of understand why do they not come for the second consultation? What is this reason? The major reasons that I heard from these patients were that first, it's too costly. We have to end up paying somewhere around 500 rupees per physiotherapy session. Second, it's too time consuming because we need to come for 6 to 12 sessions for just this knee pain. And, you know, they are busy individuals, or they have a hectic lifestyle and they don't really want to undergo such a long kind of treatment. This is a more Amazon Prime generation we are kind of looking at. And the third thing that I also realized, which was, you know, basically when I read between the lines, I kind of realized that the kind of communication that the doctor has with their patient or the physio has with their patient is very incomplete, because the physio does these, you know, 30 to 50 seconds manual checkups, where they're looking at your joint, they're looking at the muscle strength, they're looking at the range of motion, they're looking at your balance, the way you walk. But all the deductions that they made is not communicated clearly to the patient. And therein the problem, the major problem lies, where the patient does not even understand their injury, and therefore they cannot comprehend the importance of sticking to physiotherapy for so long.
Mm-hmm. When you were doing your research or asking the 110 people who had knee problems, did you talk about your solution then?
So it wasn't at that point of time that I did this. I actually kind of staged it when I was on field. I was just, you know, completely open-minded to understanding the ecosystem first,
right,
and making notes, taking down questions, taking down observations, mm-hmm. and so on. I think after these 6 months of research, I finally quit my job at Ford, and then I made a kind of paper pen concept of what a solution would look like.
Mm-hmm.
One thing was very obvious: we need to give proper data to the patient,
mm-hmm.
and that data should be, very easy for a clinician to interpret and make treatment judgments on. So with that, I actually made like a paper pen model. The first model was a knee monitoring system that the patient would have to wear continuously through their life. I mean, continuously at their home per se. And just on paper and pen, I drew some concepts. I drew how this would work. And then I went back to these 50 clinics, almost 50 clinics, went and validated. I realized that this is something that would not be feasible. Again, the patient would not be likely to, you know, purchase a knee monitoring device like a smartwatch, right? So purchase this knee monitoring device, kind of keep understanding and sharing this data with the physio and then take treatment. And this was something that even patients had kind of rejected, saying that even if it's for 2,000 rupees or 3,000 rupees in the country, I would probably not use it every day. I mean, imagine waking up, having to wear your clothes, your socks and your watch, and then also having to wear this fitness before you go to office. That's something people wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And from there, I got a validation of this this design not working. So then my team and I went back, brainstormed, and then we realized that maybe we could make an assessment wearable system for the clinic.
Yeah.
So we placed this device in the clinic, the physiotherapist uses it, and it's just a report, just like a blood test system. Mm-hmm. Somebody draws your blood, takes it back to a pathology lab, processes, and gives you a report. That's the kind of system we actually came about.
Awesome stuff. You said you mentioned you quit your job at Ford. What was the reaction of your friends and family when you said you were quitting Ford?
So my parents were, my mother has always been inclined to, you know, kind of help us support our dreams. She's always been my source of support at home. But my father, since childhood, has always emphasized that, you know, you girls need to get, because we are two sisters and that's a big thing in an Indian family. His only emphasis forever was that you need to get your education and then you need to become financially independent so that whatever you want to do, whatever you want to purchase, you want to, you know, travel, you want to do whatever you want to do in your life, it should be, you should be financially independent to do this. And with this idea of setting up a startup, he knew that for the next 3 to 5 years, I will be getting into a financial backlash. And then he was not very, very inclined to it. Most of my friends were very supportive because since school, I was always venturing out into new ideas. So they were always saying that, you know, this would be a very good place for you to explore entrepreneurship. And I love speaking. I love pitching ideas. I love building technology. So that's something that my friends kind of said, okay, yeah. No, not a biggie. And my mother was, I think even till date, my mother has been my anchor. So any kind of emotional, mental stress that I go through, I can discuss with her. And she's the person who has, you know, helped me be where I am right
now. Okay, right, cool. So you've done the research, you've quit job, you've got the paper plans, as it were. When did the technology come into it? When did you start actually building out the prototype?
We did this kind of unplanned, but we did this in three stages. The first was an alpha prototype, which was one of our company's biggest source of inspiration is this company called Tynor, T-Y-N-O-R. It's an orthotics manufacturer and their vision and quality for products is amazing. Mm-hmm. So we got all possible Tynor orthotics. We put our sensors into those knee braces for your ligament immobilization, for your kneecaps, the soft kneecaps that you can just pull up and go for runs with. And then we started doing these prototypes. So the alpha prototype for us took around 3 months of time, which also included doing a lot of research on what kind of sensors we want to kind of inbuilt into our system, what kind of processor do we need, what is the architecture that we should go for, the tech stack. And then we came out with a very kind of flimsy alpha prototype in 3 months of time. One good thing was that that was the time when we had already taken incubation with VIT, Vellore, and they kept reinforcing the fact that we need to keep going back on field, keep on getting that feedback from the patients. And right from that, and also my experience with Ford helped me, you know, be very attentive to the fact that till the time the customer feedback and verbatim is not recorded, do not proceed for the next feature development. So we did that for alpha. From alpha to beta, it took around 6 months of time. Beta was more like a wired version of the system that we have today. Today we have an all wireless 4 motion sensors strapped to the thigh and shin of the patient via Bluetooth. They're connected to a clinician's tablet, and then data is sent on cloud where we have a proprietary ML algorithms. They process, they condense all this data, and then they provide these comprehensive knee posts that you can download, email, or, you know, share over WhatsApp. So in beta, it was kind of reflective of that system, but in a more wired ecosystem where the thigh and shin was wired. to collect this data, we had to collect it via Bluetooth on the tablet, but there was no cloud backend per se. And that is what we first took on field, where we took it back to the St. John's Hospital in Bangalore, and we took it to a physiotherapy college in Delhi.
Okay.
Did this, used this system against some basic gold standard equipment for 50 patients, collected the data, gave these reports, saw what the what the impact of these reports were in clinical practice, and we were also kind of able to gauge whether our systems are accurate enough or not.
So in terms of the feedback then, how do you deal with the feature requests then? You know, how do you make decisions around feature requests? Because obviously you can't put everything in, because then you'll never finish the product.
That's true. So basically, the first two iterations, the alpha and beta, we had a lot of feedback already from the doctors about how they assess things in clinic today. So simple things like the joint movement or the joint range of motion, muscle strength, balance, and walking patterns. These were something that I had observed in that 6 months of customer discovery and pain point discovery. And these were the first features that we had introduced and standardized in the beta machine. Mm-hmm. But thereafter, we actually got, because of the a lot of on-field work that we were doing, we were fortunate to get connected with one of India's leading physiotherapists, Dr. Padmanabhan Shekharan, sir. He was at the time also working as the chief of physiotherapy at Sparsh Group of Hospitals. These are this chain of 3 to 4 hospitals in Bangalore, super specialty orthopedic hospitals. And he actually helped us also understand that while these are assessments that are done today, there are some more assessments like the ability to climb staircases and the quality with which the patient climbs staircases, the ability to walk for a longer duration, like 6 minutes, or just the fact that can you even sit and then stand back up from a chair without having much pain. These are very important and crucial progress indicators that we cannot do in clinics today, but these are extremely crucial for the patient when, let's say they leave the clinic, cross the road, get on a bus, so they need to step up, go back to their home, get off the bus, go back to their room and, probably sit down. So these are important functional parameters. And with his help, we actually realized that these are parameters that we can build up as features.
Okay.
We also, more on the hardware and cloud side, we also started realizing that these wires were not the most they're not the most robust solutions. We need to get into a more wireless system because there were these wires that were just kind of breaking when you were bending your knees. And even the tablet was very oftentimes crashing because of the heavy load of our ML algorithms. And therefore, we kind of shifted the algorithm to cloud. And these were things that we learned on field. So that's how the feature updation and release of those features were planned.
Cool. And in terms of product development overall, your experience, what advice would you give our listeners then who are going through the same thing?
So first thing, I think this is also something that you had covered with Rishi in the previous interview, mm-hmm. is that you need to absolutely ensure that you're taking the bare minimum features. Mm-hmm. You have one or two features that work, and then you take them on field and validate them and at least release that as a product, right? And then you go for the next set of features. So after our beta, we went for these functional test integration. And until then, the systems had been put to clinical use in practice. Eventually, we started improving the wired system into wireless system that added another feature. And these were basically done in capsules of 2 months. So every 2 months, we kept launching as per the feedback from the market. So now when we have commercialized it, there's nothing that we need to actually, there are a lot of features that we need to add, but these are features that we can start getting paid for. Mm. And that's very important. You go with a 30 to 40% product ready, launch it in market, get some payment for it. Even if your product costs 50,000 and you're just charging, let's say 5,000 for it, get paid for it, because that's when a customer pays for your product, that's when they'll be more inclined to abuse you and tell you that these are what are going wrong. And that's the real, true, honest feedback that you get. That's very important. And even for us, just 50 rupees a report is what we were charging from the beta version. just $50 a report gave us so much insights, and you know, it got us so far that today we are able to convert that 50 into around 2,000 rupees per report. And now patients are very happy to pay that because our product works as expected. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to product development, launching quickly is, I think, one the most crucial aspect which engineers tend to kind of overlook.
And how do you go about sort of like killing a product then? Was there a process, and you know, how did the team react? Obviously, you may have been done all the research, built something, and it doesn't work.
Okay, so that was a very heartbreaking thing for us. We actually ended up refunding around 10 to 15 people, mm-hmm. and ensuring that in the next 2 months, we come out with a better product, go back to the same people, and give our product again. That was the time when the patients, I mean, out of those 15 people, actually 10 people ended up repaying for the assessments. And that kind of helped the team keep getting motivated. But one thing, when it comes to a startup team, one thing we have seen as a journey of 6 people trying to build something is we are extremely shameless. So if somebody abuses us, we basically are happy about it, that, okay, this is a bad thing that we've done, and now we get a chance to improve it. So I think being shameless has been one of the key motivators to, you know, keep getting the product quality, keep building up on the product quality, improving it.
But what was it like when you first got the feedback that this product wasn't very good, I want my money back?
So again, it was extremely disheartening. And we kind of just, you know, got into an Excel sheet by the end of the day where the Excel sheet was labeled introspection. And then we kind of broke down all the feedback into hardware, software, the application, the features. And then from there, after we kind of summarized all these feedback into this document introspection, we then made a plan that, okay, this is how this person, the mechatronics engineer, this is what he's going to do next. This is what our software engineer is going to do next. This is what our cloud and ML engineer is going to do next. And that kind of, again, got us pumped up because we're like, okay, now we have a plan. Let's go ahead and execute it. So that's the reaction that the team kind of gave.
Good old Excel spreadsheets. Never let you down. Yeah, you mentioned commercialization. You know, how are things going so far then? Can you share some stats?
When it comes to fitness particularly, we have actually launched the device as a paid pilot just this month in November.
Okay.
So we already had, we've partnered with almost 15 physios and orthos across just two regions in Bangalore.
Yeah.
So we are kind of expanding region-wise. On a weekly basis, we are getting around 1 to 2 patients as recommendations from them.
Yep.
And in furtherance to that, what we are also doing is we are making these simple leaflets and sending them with newspapers across these regions, right? So there are 7,000 families in one area of Bangalore. So 7,000 leaflets go out on a Saturday morning with the newspapers, and then they reach into the home of patients saying that there's a service like this, which gives you a very comprehensive knee health checkup. So if you want to understand why your knees are paining, or if you're trying to decide whether you should go for a knee replacement surgery, or you have taken up a surgery, but you have some post-op complications, we can actually come to your home, we can do this assessment, or you have the option of coming to our nearest partner clinic and doing the assessments there, taking a consultation on the spot or via video, and then going back with a proper personalized treatment plan. Mm. And we will give you a follow-up as and when it's recommended by your clinician. So this is something that we have already launched so far. We have profiled.
How's that going then? How's that offline advertising work?
So the offline advertising actually is working quite significantly well, because my statistics was WHO has a has a statistical report that says 1 in 100 adult Indians suffers from knee pains at any given point of time. And when you send out 7,000 flyers across a city, you basically expect 70 people to come back to you saying that, okay, I have knee pain. And then we kind of had a statistical analysis that maybe out of these 70 families or 70, adult individuals, we would probably expect 20 to 30% of them to call. So that's around 10, 15 or 20 people or patients in calling us to inquire about what this is and how can this help me. And actually that is what happened. So when we were expecting around 15, we got 16 phone calls inquiring about what is this. And at the end of the day, we had 4 patients that we have already done the assessments for, and there are a couple of more scheduled over the next week.
Oh, nice.
In terms of Mudra then, how's that going?
Okay, so Mudra actually was a kind of baby product out of fitness.
Yeah.
When the COVID-19 lockdown happened, we had a lot of hardware, but we couldn't go on field and do our clinical investigations. Mm-hmm. We were kind of lined up for these clinical studies to validate and establish reliability of it. What we did was we just took the hardware of fitness and built a software platform around it and kind of introduced a vibration motor-based feedback mechanism. So in Mudra also what happened was we did these pilot with 30 users, out of which 15 were paying users earlier this year. And the Mudra R&D, because of a lot of lessons learned from fitness, right? Mudra R&D was, I think, barely 3 months of a cycle, and we were launching our first Mudra device already.
Yeah.
So then when we launched the device, that is when a lot of failures happened. That was around the time when the fitness failures were also coming into light. So we were actually, within a month, we upgraded all the Mudra devices to the 15 paying customers, gave them refunds, sent them the redone products. And again, we got a similar feedback. So today where we are at...
Why was it failing though?
It's the same thing, right? Fitness had a lot of hardware and architectural issues, and Mudra was a replica of it.
Okay.
it's the same problem done, repeated twice, and in the same duration. Yeah. So again, that introspection plan kind of helped us improve fitness and Mudra simultaneously, like they both worked in parallel. And then when we delivered the new products to these Mudra users also, we were able to capture the attention, we were able to gain the trust. And then that's when we said, okay, if you like the product, you can pay against an invoice. And then they came back paying against invoice as well.
Oh, nice.
Sadly, once the wave 2 lockdown this year came back, we had to park Mudra for the timing because we're a tiny team, right?
Yeah.
So we were just focusing on launching our fitness devices, getting the business model, getting the product market fit, getting the price point, and then Mudra kind of went into a standstill at the time. And now we are finally we are set to launch Mudra on a more mass scale on e-com.
Mm-hmm.
So Amazon is mainly what we are kind of primarily focusing on. In early next year, that's February 2022.
Mm-hmm. How do you see that going then? You must be excited by that.
Now we're more confident than ever, actually, because a lot of people have been using fitness, they've been using Mudra, and we also brought down the cost of Mudra. So we're just in the process of kind of finalizing our bill of materials now. Basically, the device that we were selling for 6,000 rupees, we are now targeting to bring it down one third the cost at 2,000 rupees. And that it has given us confidence in the India market, because acceptance rate at a lower price point for a very good product, app-based product, actually is something that Indian customers demand. And we have a lot of market stats to kind of validate the price point and all. So now we are actually quite pumped for the launch.
Do you have like a marketing strategy then? Will you use like Facebook or email or, you know, Instagram, et cetera, et cetera?
So for now, we have planned out for Instagram, Facebook and YouTube ads primarily as our, main funnels. We're also looking at talking to a lot of our corporate partners. So I've come from Ford. I have a lot of connections there. We're being mentored by a couple of corporates through these women entrepreneurship awards and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So we are looking to also talk to corporate partners and kind of advertise through corporate to their employees that a product like this exists, and you know, it could benefit corporate workers, and you can give it a try by purchasing it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So that's the plan for now.
Yeah, because you're doing B2C and B2B. What types of business model will it be? What is the business model behind it?
On our B2B model, we are actually on fitness is basically B2B2C. So what we have done on fitness is we have our diagnostician and a fitness kit tagged to that diagnostician. And whenever a partner clinic makes a recommendation to get a fitness assessment, our diagnostician goes to that regional partner, does the assessment, gives a report to the physician and the patient, and gets paid for it directly. So that's the model we are trying out for fitness. And along with that, we are also in the process of kind of finalizing one geriatric hospital where we'll be doing our pilots. We'll be placing our equipment in the physiotherapy ward, and then seeing how elderly patients are able to kind of gain value from this device. The Mudra, we have a partnership with a corporate where they are helping us do these SEO, do these social media campaigns, get our products launched on Amazon. So they have a very strong presence on Amazon also. And with them as partners, we'll actually be able to market and sell Mudra a bit better. So we are doing the manufacturing and providing it to them, and they'll be doing these marketing and sales through corporates, through social media, and getting the products out there on the B2C platform.
Have you set a target of, you know, how many devices you'll sell next year?
I have a target for 3 months so far, which I am pretty confident about. That is for Mudra, it's 1,000 units. Over the next, so we'll you know, from the time of launch, 3 months down the line, the target is to sell 1,000 over the next 6 months. And then for fitness, we are actually looking to partner with around 190 actually clinics. And then we are looking to do at least 2 knee ports per clinic per, 4 knee ports per clinic per month. And that kind of brings us to a net of somewhere around 400 fitness per month. That's the target that I want to ultimately achieve in the next 3 to 6 months.
Awesome stuff. Sounds exciting, that one. And in terms of the wearables market in India, how's that looking?
So to be honest, there's a kind of lack of awareness on wearables market, because when we talk about wearables, people usually think smart watches, and now kind of wireless earphones as well. But since 2018, we have a lot of data that says that the market of the wearable devices have been growing phenomenally high, especially in India when it comes to adoption of smartphone-based systems, right? Smartphone-based hardware. This has actually taken off significantly well, and the market is just expected to keep booming. Also, with the introduction of a lot of these digital healthcare platforms or initiatives from the government side, and even because of COVID, the demand of such technologies are increasing rapidly, where the patients want healthcare at home, they want food delivered at home, groceries delivered at home, anything under the sun to be done at home. So the at-home market itself has been kind of expedited because of COVID-19. And especially if you look at the elderly population, because COVID-19 phase one, actually the wave one actually hit elderly patients extremely hard. So specifically, if you talk about fitness, the elderly population wants to stay home and get treated at home. So this is some place where we also feel wearables are going to become significantly important. And of course, time and again, when it comes to telehealthcare services at home, we have seen a huge kind of blockage when it comes to orthopedic or physiotherapy services at home because of lack of either a manual assessment or a wearable sensor-based assessment. So that's also a market opportunity that we're looking at in India now.
You mentioned the team.
Sure. So I am a single founder. With me, I have, I think I mentioned Dr. Padmanabhan Shekharan. So he's now associated with us as our chief scientific officer and principal investigator on all the medical investigations. And then we have a very holistic team of engineers. So we have Manu, who's our chief product officer. And we have Kaushik, who is from Bengal, and he's a very typical fish-eating human. He's a graphics designer. And then we have Sushma, who's our lead on ML and data sciences. She's a very quiet, timid girl who's, you know, if you talk to her, if you look at her work, she's extremely intelligent, but she's very timid in general. And Abhishek and Vishnu, who are looking after Android app development, software development, cloud, and manufacturing. So Vishnu is looking at our manufacturing and procurement. So that's the team, the full-time team. And then, of course, we have a lot of mentors. We have a lot of mentors from different venture capitals who are, you know, mentoring us on finances. Mm. We have from our incubation center, we have business strategists and a lot of amazing mentors from Qualcomm and so on, who actually give us a lot of inputs and a lot of learning opportunities, just kind of, you know, bridging the gap that we are freshers. So with under their guidance, we get expert knowledge in like a very big, small bomb kind of thing.
And in terms of finance, how's that going? Are you obviously you got some money from the incubator, but may need some more money down the road?
Yep. So we have been fortunate to be in a space which is extremely upcoming and very well funded and well noticed in the country. The government of India, basically under these schemes from BIRAC, your Department of Science and Technology, Department of Biotechnology, they have been funding actively. So we, up until now, we have managed to raise quite significant, around 125,000 US dollars in funds.
Yep.
That over the last 2 years of the company's life, we've been able to come this far. Mm-hmm. And we are actually about in the process of closing some pre-angel rounds as well.
Okay.
So that's, I think, once that actually happens, we'll be able to probably talk more on that.
And how do you find the pitching? Any advice for our listeners?
So, see, the thing is, what I've recently realized is pitching is not very difficult if you're already talking to customers, right? Your customers, the people who are going to pay you, are going to be one of the most difficult people to kind of convince. And if you can convince them and get that, you know, get paid for the product or services, it's kind of easy to talk to investors on a level that, you know your business, you know your tech.
Yeah.
Of course, when it comes to investment, there's a lot more that goes into that. There's a lot of company future. There's a proper strategy that you have to build and then get that buy-in from your investors that, you know, this is going to work and this is how I'm going to make it work. The execution and the strategy is important. So I think one important thing was that talking to customers made it a little easier and made me much more confident when I went to field, when I went to investors. Beyond that, I have kind of been, you know, pretty comfortable talking across the board with different stakeholders. So that helped me a lot. And I also read this book, The Art of Fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
So it's by the Shark Tank investors, Barbara and Alexander, mm-hmm. Alejandro is how they call them. That helped me immensely to kind of get into the mind of how investors think and how to kind of build your pitch so that you can, you know, cover all essential points in a short duration of time. So I think that is my take on how I feel about pitching and how we can kind of improve on that.
Yeah. In terms of a PowerPoint presentation, and what should go on the slide, mm-hmm. then? What's the most important thing for you then?
So for me, I think if you've seen this Lean Business Canvas, it was developed by this Harvard, I think the Harvard professor, but I don't know if I'm quoting the correct person. So the Lean Business Canvas basically is this 9-pillar model, which talks about what is the problem that you're solving, what is the solution you offer, what is the unique value proposition of your product, how you are differentiating from the competitors. And then it talks about the unfair advantage, which need not necessarily always be patents and IP. It could also be the fact that you're associated or partnered up with a larger organization or a very, very well-recognized domain expert, which other companies probably don't have. And then that also goes on to kind of talk about the revenues, the channel, the cost structure, your business model, how you're going to reach to the customer and so on. So that 9-pillar is a very quick encapsulation of what I put across in my pitch deck. And in furtherance to that, because we are a medical device company, we also talk a bit about what the future roadmap would be, what the regulatory scenario is for our company in the coming years, and then kind of conclude the pitch deck with our team and kind of boast how wonderful and how skilled our team is. And I think that for me makes an ideal pitch deck.
Yeah, definitely mention the team there. Last few questions then. Is it fun? Are you having fun with this? Seems like you're very busy.
It is a roller coaster ride. Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's depressing. When things, go extremely south, ideally that's when you should be depressed. But my teammates, that's when we become the most shameless and we start laughing that, you know, how much lower could we get? let's look at it that way. And then whenever there's financial stress, I'm just 26 year old and my hair over the last 1 year has already started turning white. So, you know, your sleep patterns are ruined. You're sleeping, your exercise, your waking up patterns and all. You try to keep maintaining those, but all in all, I think every single day when you wake up and you get new challenges, you get new problems and you solve them. I think every time you solve this small problem, it could be just something as simple as, the hardware switch broke. Let's redesign the hardware switch. Or it could be something as significant as, we're going to run out of funds in the next 3 to 6 months. Let's, you know, we need to do something quick about that. These problems are good to have. And, you know, the kind of way this has built me has also, at least me and my team, it has also started translating into our personal lives where during the pandemic wave two, for example, we were able to get, you know, we became so resourceful and we became so unbound with the fact that there's only one way to get the medical treatment at home, get it to our grandparents, that we started thinking of more creative ways and kind of solving more problems. So it builds this journey of problem solving, it builds you up as a person, and that is extremely fun and phenomenal to see, right? You keep going through different phases of your business. So, you know, you grow from tech to kind of validation to fundraising to marketing. You need to learn finances, you need to learn team management. There's so much learning curve. I don't think this would be possible if I wasn't in, you know, I wasn't in the domain. I wasn't an entrepreneur. If I were to continue working for a corporate, this just would not have happened. So it's, it feels proud and it feels cool to be a part of something like this.
Yeah, good. What excites you most, though, about what you're doing at the moment?
The best part is when, this is genuinely, this is a very heartfelt thing. When a patient takes a NEPOT, the fitness report, and makes a judgment about their life that they're going to get a surgery or they're going to delay a surgery, it's such a crucial decision for them. And that's something that we have aided them to do. I think that recently has been one of the most powerful things for us. Every time one of our Mudra Pilot users come back to us and say that, I have not been using the device for the last 30, 40 days, for the last 1 month or something, and I'm still sitting straight, and there was this person who said, my wife has actually started noticing my posture and she has been complimenting, and that's like first time in the last 7 years. That's such a powerful thing. That's what is, keeping us motivated to keep going, keep putting a solution out there, keep, doing all this all day long on field. I think that's the most enjoyable, impactful thing for us right now.
Awesome. Yeah, last three questions then. Any advice for our first-time founders? What should they be focusing on?
I think the first thing is you need to get a very strong tech mentor who will ensure that you don't go over-engineering your product. That's the very first thing. And keep a hard deadline of 3 months to launch your first prototype. That's another important thing for a first-time founder. But before you even start, right, if you've not spoken to your customers, if you've not gone on field and spoken to your actual users who ultimately will pay you, if you've not understood from their perspective and you're just enclosed in this four-wall chamber of your room, you most likely are going to end up not having a proper or a viable or a sustainable business. So talking to your customer from day one or day zero is so important. And then finding a way to very rapidly monetize your service, because that is the biggest validation of anything possible. More than funding, more than your tech working, more than your tech being stable or the product finishing being extremely beautiful or, smooth. The most important thing is somebody paying you for the service you've created. So if you can do that early on, if you can even bring home 50 rupees or 100 rupees or like $1 for your product, I think that's the biggest validation that yes, this business is providing value to its customers and it's going to be a sustainable business. And then you can just go into this iterative cycle of whatever. If you're a hardware company, 2 months. If you're a software company, maybe 2 weeks. And keep building up on the solution and keep giving, you know, updates, keep improving the quality over a period of time. But these two things, getting out of R&D fast, staying connected with your customer and getting paid for the solution fast, these are so crucial. I wish I had somebody who, you know, kind of told these two things to me before.
How are you onboarding new customers then, or new users then? Or do you just let them get on with it then? Because obviously they may be their first time using this type of product then, so they don't know how to use it.
Yeah, so we actually have, the two ways we are marketing is, first, we are partnering with clinics for fitness, and allowing them to kind of get a demo with 2 or 3 patients. And then once they become confident, once they get accustomed to the knee ports, as and when their cases keep coming up and they find relevancy, they call us back, they book an appointment, and we go back to the clinics and do these tests. On the second front, when we go offline and we advertise that this is a service we can provide to your home, that is also when a lot of patients in our brochure that we send out, we write some of the nearest clinics in that particular area, and we actually print that on our brochure, so the patients are able to kind of look up those doctors very quickly, get an understanding that we are a credible, startup, and then they call us and they kind of ask questions about how this works, how can I benefit with it, what is involved, and if they're convinced, that's when they go ahead and schedule a knee port. And that's how the fitness is kind of, that's how we discover and convert patients for the time being.
Yeah, sounds interesting. How would you sum up your journey so far then?
I think, again, the journey has been a roller coaster full of a lot of learning and a lot of mistakes. I think almost 1,000 mistakes a week. And then basically the journey has been extremely empowering for me as a person. Because as I overcome a hurdle, so I'm just talking in my personal opinion.
Yep.
As I overcome various hurdles of the startup journey and I kind of transition into the next phase of the journey, and then there's another overwhelming obstacle, and then I transfer into the next one, my confidence and my motivation just keeps amplifying with every step of the way. And more so, what also has been happening through this journey is I have built, with the help of my team, we have built a solution. We have realized the impact of the solution. We've also realized how to build a business, how to build a team, how to stay together as a team for 2 years now. How to kind of get some things optimized faster than, if we have done it before, we don't make the same mistakes again. So the journey has been extremely fulfilling on a more personal and a career level.
Awesome stuff. Yep. Last question then, for people who want more information on you and the company, what must they do?
So the first thing they can do for knowing more about the company is logging on to our website, which is www.ashweartech.com. So that's www.ashwaweartech.com. And to know more about me, they can go check out my LinkedIn profile. You can just type Anmol Saxena, AnmolSaxena. And you'll see me as the founder, founding CEO and MD of Ashwavetics. So you can just look me up there.
Awesome stuff. Anmol, thanks for coming on the show today. I really enjoyed it, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Neil.
Thanks to Anmol for coming on the show today. Check out Ashwaware Tech website. Thanks for supporting the podcast. And I shall be back next week. If you're building something exciting, please get in touch and let's connect on Twitter at IndianStartupSH. And if you're not on Facebook, go to facebook.com/IndianStartupShow. Thank you and goodbye.